unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ
way to begin worship. We'd like to welcome everybody to Flat Springs Baptist Church. Excited for our time together to worship in God's house this morning. If you are a guest with us, we are also excited that you are here. Thankful you are here. And we have a system of sorts to hopefully gain some information about you and share some information about how God is at work in our church. That's the guest card that's located right in front of you. You'll see those in your pew. If you could, fill that out. If you have been several times and never have, please do now. Or if it's your first time, put it in the offering plate when it comes around, and then we'd have a record of that and would love to share some additional information about how God is at work in our midst. As I welcome you, you will see that Gary's not with us this morning. That is somewhat unplanned, unfortunately. Hopefully, on the way, just to have some precautionary things looked at more regional, so we'll have some information about that coming out soon, but be in prayer for our pastor. And as we are in a state of prayer, a state of worship, let's listen to the words in Psalm 63, the first four verses. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Let's pray. God, indeed, we lift up our hands to praise you. We lift up our hearts and our minds to praise you. Guide us this morning so we can understand that we are in your presence, and God, you're in control. We're looking to you for guidance, for direction, for understanding as your wisdom is given to us. We pray this in your name, your Son's holy name. Amen.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Let's stand and sing that. Number 52.
Thank you. Let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today. We pray that you would be with the victims of the avalanche and the earthquake in Mount Everest and others who are suffering. We pray for those who are having trouble finding the light at the end of their suffering. Bless these tithes and offerings and the giver, that what we give would be pleasing to you, to be used in your church for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I can see all of you right here. I like that. So make sure you can see me, because on my phone I have a picture that I want to show you. I want you to see my little dog. Everybody see my little dog? Yeah? Now I want to ask you, how many of you have a dog or a pet at home? A lot of us probably do, right? How many of you have a dog? Raise your hand. What about a cat? Raise your hand. What about something that's not a dog or a cat that's a pet? Raise your hand. Those two, right? So, tell me some of the pets you have. Somebody tell me some of the pets. You have a Yorkie dog? Yeah? What else? You have a lab? Border collie? You have a chicken? I like that. What else? Anybody else? You have a black lab? Yeah, so we all have pets. Now, especially the dogs mentioned, I bet that if you've been away for a little period of time at school or at a friend's house and you come home, I bet they're really excited to see you. Probably. Most are. I know when I come home, our little dog Lola, she gets really excited to see me come home because she knows my voice, right? Now, if Lola is at home and we're at home and a stranger comes to the door that she doesn't know, she's probably not as excited. The hair might stand up on the back of her neck and she might growl or bark. She doesn't know that person. She doesn't really want to go running towards that person like she would with me, because she knows my voice, but she doesn't know a stranger's voice. Now, in the Bible, Jesus teaches us something really interesting. He teaches us something about sheep and their shepherds. So I want you to hear what he says in John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, okay? And listen to what happens to the sheep. Jesus says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." What Jesus is teaching us is really important as Christians. Jesus wants to make sure that we know he's the shepherd. That means that we're supposed to listen to his voice. And we do that by reading the Bible, being in worship like we are now, listening to mom, dad, or other family teach us about Jesus, right? Sunday school, Awana, Wednesday night, all sorts of ways we have to learn what Jesus teaches us so we can follow His way. Because there's a lot of other distractions, right? We have things on TV or radio, or even friends might tell us something that go against what Jesus teaches us, but we need to know how to listen to Jesus' voice, just like your dog will listen to your voice, but not a stranger's voice. Okay? So this week, when you wake up in the morning, pray to God and ask Him to teach you what it means to listen to Jesus each and every day. All right? Let's pray about it. God, thank You so much for the way You teach us to listen to Your Son, Jesus Christ. Show us how to listen to Jesus this week. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
High and heart abandoned, in all.
These were just two samples of what they will be presenting tonight at 6:30 here in the sanctuary. And we're trying something new this year. We're going down to Depot Park next Sunday at 7 o'clock. Is that correct? 7 o'clock next Sunday. If you are planning to go to Depot Park, you need to take lawn chairs and or blankets. It's just a grassy area to sit in. There are a couple of benches, but they are way back at the back. And if you have extra lawn chairs, you might bring some in case we have guests that we can invite them to have seats with us there. So shout to the Lord. Let us stand. It's on your insert in your bulletin today.
Mountains fell down and the seas were born at the sound of
Amen. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. How fitting to sing that truth, that praise to God, especially as we look at some prayer concerns that we have. I would invite you to open up your bulletin. You'll see right under the outline many prayer concerns. We have many that are ongoing. We have some that are newer. We have all that are important to pray for. So I'm hoping that we take this task each week. Still love the way that Gary presents it to us, a holy assignment that we have each week to pray for the names here, along with all the other prayers that we have throughout the week. There are a couple I would like to mention. I know Carol, during the prayer here, mentioned the disasters around the world, and in Nepal we know about, remembering those people, having the worldwide understanding of how God's love needs to be shared through such hard times. We also currently need to be remembering Shirley Cotton, who is in the hospital right now, and Gary, who is at Moore Regional. We'll have an update with that hopefully soon, hopefully precautionary, but nonetheless, a lot of prayer, much prayer is needed. It was well put when it was said also during the offertory prayer, God help us when we necessarily don't see a light at the end of a tunnel of understanding how you're at work. Nonetheless, we know you're at work, and we know you're listening to our prayers. And so all the more reason for us to pray fervently this week with so many needs on our hearts and minds. So right now, let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. God, indeed, we come before you right now, humbled that your Spirit is among us, guiding us and moving us to understand how to speak to you, how to pray to you, and how we understand that means doing a lot of listening. So God, right now we are here to listen to you. Listen to you give us answers to prayers we've been praying for a long time. Answers for new prayers that we have just begun to understand need to happen. God, guide us this week to understand the holy assignment you have given us. To pray everything in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. And that is what we are doing now. Amen.
Sure of one thing I know, God walks beside me wherever I go. He'll never leave me, He's there to stay. He's right here with me. I'm not alone. When my heart's broken, He's there to mend. He is my Savior.
He is my
strong. He's right here with me. I'm not alone. When my heart's broken, He's there to mend. My friend.
Amen. I hope our story is praising our Savior all the day long. I hope that is a story we share. Fitting that just a few days ago we had our connecting stories time together. Connecting our stories together and how our story is to always praise Jesus Christ. What a wonderful morning of worship. Amazing to see. I've often been told that spontaneous worship may be the most genuine worship. We're going to experience a little bit about spontaneous worship now, to see how God will lead and guide and direct us for the week ahead. We will be looking at a different passage of Scripture than what is in your bulletin. We will get to that soon, just to give you a little notice to turn to James chapter 2. That'll be where we're at, James chapter 2. We will get there soon. But I wanted to begin by hopefully having us answer a few questions about ourselves. Questions really that, frankly, we need to ask ourselves as Christians daily, probably, at least often, I would say. Hopefully this will set the stage for our passage of Scripture that I just mentioned. I want to know, do we love one another as Christ loves us? Might be an easy answer. Yes, man, of course. But think for a moment what we celebrated a few weeks ago, Easter, and how Jesus demonstrated His love for us. Do we love that way? Do we care for one another? Function as a church with an eternal mindset, the same way Jesus displays and teaches us. And one very important question, speaking of stories that we are singing about, are we so interconnected that we have faith in one another as we have faith in Christ? If we believe Jesus Christ to be living through us, do we have faith in that reality, that He is doing just that, and thus have faith in our fellow Christian, of how Jesus is at work? I ask these questions because I believe if we claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, who He is, then our life begins to reflect that faith in such a way where we are known as very intentional, proactive Christians. I think we've had a lot of conversation about that recently, on how to do just that. What does that look like? Why do we need to do that? In other words, our individual faithfulness to Jesus Christ is magnified when we do it together as the church. Hopefully, that doesn't need to be stated. That is the obvious, I hope. But when our individual perspectives change to the perspective of Jesus Christ individually, then we together, communally, come together with the realization of how Jesus is living through us. That's a powerful image of the body of Christ, as it should be, right? Preaching to the choir, literally, right? Makes sense. Okay. Hopefully we can function as a body of believers faithfully to committed to growing our own discipleship and inviting others along the way to be discipled by Jesus Christ also. I think about it this way. When the disciples were met with the reality that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, they began to understand what was happening. They had to tell people. There's a mini-series, I guess you would call it right now, on Sunday evenings called AD. I'm always a little weary when shows like that, I think the Bible was named the show where it actually went through Scripture, come out. I wonder, is it going to be accurate, how they're going to portray that which we've never seen? Is it going to give me the visuals that I need? And this mini-series is The Bible Continues. It takes us into the life of the disciples after Jesus Christ has been resurrected and ascends into heaven. And personally, I think they've done a wonderful job. They've really captivated my attention and understanding, and biblically accurate so far as well, of what the disciples may have been going through, what that looks like, and how they had to share this news, have to share this amazing news. Dangerous for one, but necessary nonetheless. And so I wanted to ask, have you ever had something happen to you? We've asked this before, where you just had to share it. I have to tell somebody. This is great news. Maybe it's bad news. There's news that I have to tell somebody. Well, many years ago, I was thinking about a friend of mine whose name is Andy. And he was on a mission trip to Malaysia. And it was actually going to be where he was coming home a day early. And we were really good friends. We were going through divinity school together. This is prior to that. And he wanted to share what God was up to during this time. And it had been a dream of his, an aspiration to see how God was at working internationally. And he wanted to share how it was happening. Well, he was coming home a day early, and he called me from Malaysia that he was coming home a day early. He wanted me to pick him up from the airport because he was going to surprise his parents and some other people, and he wanted some help in planning that. I felt special, good friend to explain to me what's going on, and I really thoroughly enjoyed that. And the whole ride home, after I picked him up from the airport, he couldn't stop telling me all the wonderful things that God was up to. How amazing it was to see him at work in so many spontaneous ways halfway around the globe. It was awesome to hear the passion, to sense the enthusiasm, to really share in that moment where he understood this is a God thing. I've got to tell people about how he's alive, and I've got to share that back at home now. In short, he was telling me that God was at work. He wanted to tell me the details of how God was at work, and I was anxious to listen. I'm sure we've had experiences like that, hopefully. My thought this morning is the fact that we need to find ways to share this amazing story of how Jesus Christ is alive within us. That's why we meet together on a weekly basis to worship the Lord and be reinvigorated with that energy and enthusiasm to share this gospel message as it is our mission. Since I believe that God loves all of his people, he continually cares and provides for them, there must be a part of God that I can find within each person I come in contact with. There must be a connection that I can have to share my story with their story, and ultimately, God's story. This morning, we're going to focus on how our actions come from our faith. James does a wonderful job of talking about just that. I want to ask how my actions through my faith can expose my attitude and priorities of Jesus Christ and hopefully invite others into his presence along the way. So hopefully you're already turned to James chapter 2. If you are able, please stand with me. We're going to look at verses 14 through 18. James 2, 14 through 18. Listen to what he says. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, I would add, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Let's pray about that. God, we come before you this morning seeking an understanding of how our life is supposed to display our faith in you to everyone around us. Give us that clarity. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. James is writing to an audience of believers, for the most part, live in poverty and under persecution. James's audience evidently lacks maturity and faith, and due to hard times are holding on to a faith that's easier to understand during difficult times. It's believed the audience is listening to Paul in Romans 3:28 that says, a person is justified by faith alone. Absolutely. Absolutely. But under financial pressure and persecution, it was easier to hold on to that message on the surface level, so to speak. James knows Paul's message didn't stop there. That was not Paul's intent. I don't believe so either. So James gives more. He explains to us what Paul's talking about, how to apply that to our lives. It shows that faith that leads to salvation is productive for the kingdom of God, even, and should I say especially, in the midst of trials. That's when faith is most evident and real. So think to yourself this morning, how can we continue to make sure our faith manifests itself through our actions to build God's kingdom? I've started to think about that more and more lately. How are my actions literally building the kingdom of God? How does that happen? What does that look like for me personally, us as a church? I believe I'm going to stand before Jesus one day face to face, and we're going to have that conversation. I've told the youth, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how it works. I just know it's going to happen. At some point, we're going to be face to face with Jesus Christ, and our actions are going to be exposed for where they came from. Hopefully it's through faith, right? And I agree with James. Faith by itself is meaningless. Faith, genuine faith, produces action. That's the consequence. When we have faith, the next step is action. They cannot be separated. They're not two different entities. Our faith in Jesus links us to the disciples. Get this. Our faith in Jesus links us to the disciples some 2,000 years ago that walked with Jesus. The disciples that carried on the faith in such an amazing way, we are still charged to carry on that faith through our actions, our message, and our mission. Let's remember that just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. It's easy to forget about that, maybe because the weather has not seemed very spring-like. But Easter was just a few weeks ago, and we were celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? Jesus shares with his disciples what it means to be faithful right before he is going to give up his life. Amazing. So just as Christ commanded the 12 to go out into the world, the Great Commission we know of, and proclaim the good news, that command extends to us. The message is just as alive now as it was then. And I'm going to be honest, at times, I kind of lose that sense that I'm still carrying on the same message. Now, that doesn't mean I don't understand that I'm carrying on the message of Jesus Christ and explaining his gospel, hopefully living that out, but at times I can kind of miss the connection to the disciples, meaning I kind of miss what really took place here. That's why it's a little intriguing to watch that show I talked about, AD. It gives me that visual, since I'm a visual learner. Maybe that's what I need to understand, that we're still carrying on that very same mission, that very same message. To me, that's extremely invigorating. That's powerful. That's exciting to me. It's a little scary, too, because that's really important. It means that I need to have extreme faith in Jesus to do it correctly, because I'm going to be held accountable for it. But nonetheless, it's amazing. It strengthens me, empowers me. You know, it's difficult to share the love of Jesus with everyone we come in contact with. Sometimes we may not just feel like it. Just don't feel right. May have some personal trials going on, some hardships that we're in the midst of. We may be in a hurry during the day and come across people we don't even realize need the love of Christ, and we don't overtly avoid them, but our state of mind blocks out the opportunity to share Jesus' love. And so it's why we talk about being intentional, being proactive, waking up each day with that sense of mission and message on our minds. Just a few weeks ago, Adrian Maynard contacted me about an opportunity for our Wednesday night mission groups. They do such a wonderful job of understanding how to communicate missions, how we're on mission, children, youth, adults, parents alike. And there was an idea that she had seen called blessing bags. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It's basically a bag that you make up that has all sorts of things in it. A non-perishable protein, water, first aid kit, notepad, deodorant, pen, so forth, so on, that you would have ready with you in your car to give to someone who's homeless that you may see sitting at a stoplight. And not 2 weeks after that happened, Lauren and I had been talking about this prior to that, just of ways that when we are encountering somebody that needs the love of Christ, how do we do that? And so we had had that ongoing conversation ourselves as husband and wife within our own family. It's amazing how God works when other people are praying the same prayer and paths cross and ideas come about. And we have those in our cars. And nonetheless, right after this conversation, we pulled to a stoplight right here on the right. There's a person holding a sign. And it's at that moment we're met with the reality, this is why we did what we did. It's uncomfortable. It's not easy. We had to be proactive. We had to have it on the top of our mind. We had to be ready, take action. Now, really, the main point is just to give them something they need, because in all honesty, it's hard to spend a lot of time there. You're turning right. You're going down the road. You can't just pull over and stop. I mean, we understand those logistics, but we understood that there's an opportunity nonetheless to share the love of Christ in a very short and simple way. And that's the way we chose to do it. It's amazing how messages come together when multiple people are praying the same prayer. I think that's also evident by next week, the youth going to Depot Park. It really came from a conversation from our Disciple Now weekend, talking about community. How do we love the community we are in like Jesus Christ loves us? What does that look like? Well, that convicted Lou Ann. And she was excited. So I know of a way. We're going to share our spring program, our spring worship service with the community, literally. She said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to come. I don't know how it's going to work out. Can we do it? Talk to Jimmy, talk to me, talk to everybody. Absolutely. All right, how do we do this? What does it look like? The passion's there. The purpose is there. Let's take the step forward and do it. It may just be somebody a block away hearing the songs sung to Jesus that are affected by it. But nonetheless, someone's going to be affected. Someone's going to be convicted, I should say. And I don't believe it's going to be just that. I believe it's going to be a powerful worship opportunity, because God does not take lightly the intentionality behind your actions. He uses that proactive discipleship. I'm excited about that. You get it. That's wonderful to see. Really, it boils down to this. God's story is for everybody. It boils down to that. If there's one sentence we understand taking away our time together today during worship, God's story is for everyone. There's never a time as a church or as an individual we can monopolize God's grace. And I doubt we ever do it intentionally, like I've mentioned, but we have to make sure that we don't turn a blind eye to opportunities to share it. Because when we do, we're missing out. When we've encountered Jesus Christ in such a way that we now know what life is truly about, we cannot help but share that reality with other people. Often students or children or someone who's just became a Christian will say, well, I'm not ready to share the gospel. What does that look like? I don't know all the answers. Well, no one does. What you do is you share your story about how Jesus Christ has changed and is changing your life. That's the most convicting part of Jesus' message. Hopefully that gives us Jesus' perspective of how to love other people when we want to share the story of how he is transforming us. There comes a time, I believe, for everyone to either walk towards Christ and accept him or turn away and reject him. It may happen more than once. In fact, I think it does. But I believe there are markers, I call them, in life where there are moments people are called to either accept Jesus Christ, move forward in a new light, a new life, or turn around and are callously walking the other way. I encountered a situation similar to that personally with a friend, another friend that I mentioned, years ago not long after we graduated high school. We grew up in youth together. We went on retreats, participated in Bible studies, went on mission trips, worshiped on the same pew with the other youth for years. But really, it was time for our faith to expose itself by our actions in an ever-present way. It was time to really show others, do we believe what we say we believe? Our priorities are going to be exposed by the way we work, the people we spend time with, the way we spend our own time. And through a lot of conversation with this individual, this close friend of mine, it was evident our priorities were shifting. I was being convicted in many ways. It's its own story of how God wanted to continue to develop my vocational calling, my ministry within a congregational context. He was not sharing that same passion to continue to search out how God was convicting him to have his own ministry in the way the Lord was leading him. And it was evident, by the way, he would readily admit he wasn't spending time in prayer. Scripture was of no importance anymore. His habits and priorities were changing, and that was evident. His works were exposing his faith, lack thereof. And that's tough. That's tough to experience. But our actions do expose our faith. We have to understand that other people are watching us, and I tell this to our youth regularly, and they are seeing how you speak, how you act, what you do, how you spend your time. They are analyzing you. They are witnessing whether or not your faith is exposed through your actions, whether or not your walk actually matches your talk. We've heard that phrase before. And so I challenge us this morning to go out, take the words that James gives us, and to pray this week, God, what does that look like for me as an individual follower of Christ this week? Just have that simple, earnest prayer. No matter if we believe last week we genuinely follow Jesus, we spent time in prayer and worship and Bible study, we used opportunities that were given to us to tell others about Jesus, we can't hit coast mode this week. We have to continue on, right? That's my prayer for us. Simple but straightforward, to see how God, through His Holy Spirit, will convict us to share the gospel message. Let our actions and our works expose our faith. Let's pray about that. God, we come before you at this time, convicted by the words James gives us, the message that he gives us of understanding how our actions show the faith we have in you. God, let our actions display a deep faith, a convicting faith, a faith that draws other people into your presence so we can share our story, which is your story, with them. God, give us specific opportunities this week to do just that. May we not pass them up. May we not look at our own trials or difficulties or schedule and let it distract us. But God, open and clear our minds to see your will through us. Lord, how amazing it is to see us come together as a church for a time of worship. We are so thankful for that. And we are so ready to continue on your mission. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. At this time, as Jimmy comes forward for our closing hymn of decision, reflection, I'll be standing in the front. It's always a wonderful time to share how the Lord is convicting you, whether it's to accept Jesus for the first time as Lord and Savior, whether it's to discuss a prayer need, or to say anything at all. We'll be right here as everyone stands to sing this hymn. Gary, our pastor, and your prayers, along with so many others mentioned. If we could get a little help right after worship to move everything right here. Tonight at 6:30, FSYC leading us in worship. Very excited about that. I hope all of you are able to come right back here for that time of worship. Reception is following. That means we need all the youth parents' help to bring the things that we need for reception. So make sure you see Abby or me or Luann, someone, to make sure that comes here ahead of time. At this time, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Lord, as we close out this time of worship, may we not stop acknowledging your love for us that changes the way we live and hopefully makes us tell others about that. Show us how to do that this week. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
It doesn't go through to the video unless it's plugged in, okay? Or to the, when we send it back, for overflow.